It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the happy hour, everybody. We are happy you are with us. That is the Gwynn and Chris program here. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., of course, in Peoria with the Padres. Padres over the Cubs today, 2-1, the final. Good work by, Johnny Brito, 3 1/3 innings, struck out 6. Matt Waldron, 4 innings, struck out 6. Fernando, 3 hits. Jacob Marcy, the tie-breaking RBI and a sacrifice fly in the 8th inning. Padres are now 7-6 in spring training play. Pretty much everything you need to know about today. Garrett Cooper drove in the lone run for the Cubs. I've mentioned that a few times today because I'm saddened that he's not a Padre. I thought he would have been a nice
pickup. That was his Cubs debut today.
Was it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Of course it was.
He signed on Leap Day.
What did he sign, Tony? We're trying to figure that out. Was it a minor league deal with a major league invite or something?
Yes.
Did you see? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. What does that mean?
What does that mean exactly? Does it mean the Padres could have signed him for nothing?
Technically, they could have.
Okay.
What it means is you're on a minor league deal. The only way you're going to get on the major league roster is if you make the team out of camp. So they give you a major league invite. Most minor leaguers don't get major league invites. So you're just in minor league camp at that point.
Got it.
So this is just an opportunity to be in front of the staff.
All right. All right, then. Padres, 2 weeks from today, couple of things. Tony Gwynn Jr. and the Padre charter will be touching down in Korea, right?
I think 9 days away.
Well, 9 days from when they leave, but it takes 3 days to get there.
It does not take 3 days to get there, Chris. We've already done the calculations.
We've already gone through all that?
Yes.
All right. So they'll be in Korea in 2 weeks, but also in 2 weeks from today, we will all have with us in our hands our March Madness bracket.
Oh, that's right.
Just 2 weeks from today, it'll all be done, and the brackets will be filled in, and all the teams will be in place, and everybody will have a nice, fresh bracket, and they'll pick all the winners, and they'll feel really good about it. And then by the end of the week, we'll be tearing them up and throwing them away.
But, absolutely.
Yeah. It's always fun, that first Sunday, Monday, when they announce the bracket. All right, let's get back to your big Fox.
Oh, I just started the music.
What music? You're doing NCAA music. Oh, sorry. I thought you were starting Big Five music.
It's okay. Just trying to...
Leave it to Scrape to freak out over
I'm just hoping that the Aztecs will be on that number 4 seed line.
Yeah.
In that bracket. They gotta win tomorrow. By the way, Tony, you didn't see the score of the Aztec women's game Saturday.
I did.
Yeah, let's not mention it.
Did.
Let's just move. No, I didn't. I just said, did he see the score? And he said he did. And I said, let's not mention the score.
Let's move on. Yeah,
let's move right on.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with that.
Ooh, every part of my annoying.
Don't say the score.
Don't do it.
They're young, lovely, tremendously hardworking young ladies.
All right. There's an internet. People can look it up if they want.
They can go look it up if they want.
That is true. There is an internet.
There you go.
next year's
baseball. Just want you to know, Tony, that I called that game. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you did, buddy. Yeah. I know you did.
Yeah, it was a heck of a
thing. And it took you like 3 days to get to call that game because it took you forever to get there.
I know, it took me forever to get there. I know.
So,
all right, go back to the Big Five.
What all right, got? Next year's baseball free agency class is going to have some big names out there, and one of them is Astros third baseman Alex Bregman. It seems like the Astros are the leader for his services, but rumors are he's going to be targeted by the Yankees and the Mets in free agency. The problem is...
What's the problem?
Yankees fans hate the Astros for the trash can banging cheating of 2017, and they feel like they were screwed out of the ALCS and their loss to the Astros that year. Mm. So the question is, Tony, if you are a Yankee fan, do you accept him?
As long as he comes in and produces like he's been producing, I accept him. I get over it real quick. Hey, you know who Yankees fans used to hate?
Juan Soto?
Johnny Damon. And then you know what they did? They signed him. You know who else they used to hate? What was the other center fielder the Red Sox had? And then they signed him, and he ended up being a bust. So they probably still hate him now. I can't remember who it
was. Victorino?
No, it was a kid that went to Oregon State.
I'm not sure. Sorry, can't help you there.
Oh, no.
Can't help you there. But anyway.
I'll look it up. Anyway, so, yeah. I think you get over it. If he comes in and he helps your ball club, which you guys need, and when I say you guys, I'm talking about the Yankees fans. They when was the last time they won a World Series?
2009.
It's been a while. Long time for them.
So, you know, it's about that time. It's about that time to, you know, open your hearts and let some other people in.
Man, that would be nice if I could live my life according to Tony Gwynn Jr.'s rules. Chris.
What year was the cheating scandal?
2017.
Yeah. That was Bregman's rookie year.
Can you believe
first
it's been
year in the
7 years since his
not his rookie year, but his first year in the playoffs. I'm just looking. He went 4-for-24 against the Yankees in that series.
Mm. So clearly he wasn't getting the signs.
He wasn't getting a whole lot of benefit.
Well, that's because Jose Altuve was busy with the buzzer
I'm
on
just
his
saying,
chest.
Yankee fans don't need to hate him so much.
Right.
And we talked about this already. If the Padres would have signed Kershaw, how cool it could have been. Right?
I don't
for
think
Kershaw
it.
To go back and beat the Dodgers in the playoffs, I think we would have accepted it just fine.
All right.
Don't take my shirt off.
That's what...
All right, Carlos.
That's what Jose Altuve told him. So.
Right.
All right. I don't think the Yankees fans get over this, but...
I promise you, they'll have no choice. He's going to... If the Yankees want him, they'll sign him. And then they have free access to boo him until he starts to win games for you. And then, you know what? You just welcome him like you do everybody else.
He's a clean-shaving guy, right?
I think he sometimes gets his plays, you know, has a little something on his chin.
Because I don't know if you guys... what is it, food or something?
he's from... Hey, you know where he's from?
Where?
The Kirk...
Oh, he's from that. Really?
He's from Albuquerque.
All right.
He's from Albuquerque.
Wow, I had no idea.
I did not either.
He made me feel super old a couple years ago. I went down and introduced myself, and he was like, oh, man.
I used to go see you when I was a little kid.
I used to love go watching you play as you were the Isotopes.
I was like, that's actually from you.
Coming from you, I'll take that.
That
you know,
cool.
I didn't mind being old at that point.
Would never have guessed he was an Albuquerque guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Kirk.
I wouldn't either.
Kirk. Yeah, all right.
Love the Kirk.
Final topic, Josh Donaldson, a three-time All-Star third baseman and the winner of the 2015 American League Most Valuable Player Award, announced his retirement today after 13 seasons. I did not cut into the show for this one. Chris, here's what I'm going to ask.
Thank God.
Because we're going to put Josh Donaldson into this category. Will I remember who Josh Donaldson is 25 years from now?
I don't think so. I don't. I think he's a really good player. I think he's, you know, some of his, you know, I like a 10-year window.
Yeah,
to
13
be
seasons.
Hall of Fame type guy. His 10-year window is pretty good. 2013 to 19. That's a 7-year window. But he was in the top four of the MVP balloting three times, and he won it once. So he was pretty good for quite a while. But I think he's in the Hall of Very Good, and I think he'll come up, you know, in a trivia question somewhere, and you might go, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that guy.
Okay, that's
about it.
Thank you for answering exactly how I was thinking. Tony, do you think I'll remember who Josh Donaldson is 25 years from now?
You probably won't, but...
but you're not a big sports fan.
Yeah, you're not. You like sports, so...
Oh, okay.
So I wouldn't expect you to remember who he was. I certainly will. I mean, as Chris said, that 7-year run, I don't care what you felt about the dude. He was not good with at all. Now, you know, some of the other stuff that came up later, the whole Tim Anderson, Jackie thing.
I think that
rubs people the wrong way, but you can't deny what he was doing on the field in that 7-year span. I'll certainly remember who Josh Donaldson
was. He had a good run right there for a while. And who knows, maybe he'll run for Senate 1 year in California.
Please don't. What? I cannot stop getting Steve Garvey texts.
I just brought this up because he's all upset about this.
I'm not kidding. I get at least one Steve Garvey text a day.
The Garb is hitting you up?
All the time. And
Garb's hitting you up, man. He was on the show. He's trying to get some support.
The worst part is that it says my mom's name on every text. It's not even my name. He's texting the wrong person.
He's looking for your mom's demographic there, and he's got the wrong number, it sounds like.
You know what? You know when they say at the bottom, if you would like for these things to stop? I say stop every time, and he somehow... Him and Trump, I gotta say.
The Garb is relentless.
Trump is relentless as well. And Trumps are more like, hey! You know, like... I need your attention. And so I'm like, okay, maybe I do need to look at this.
You think your phone's been hacked?
Trump hasn't been on the show. The Garb has been on the show. He's been in studio. He hugged my mom. He posed with a picture.
Yes, he did.
Before she passed.
That was a great moment in her life. From all the texting.
We love the Garb.
Nah, have you seen his forearms? We've talked about this, man. That leads to good hand strength, man. Yeah, he's probably texting away.
Nick Lancaster makes a great point on the chat, the YouTube chat. If you want to watch this, go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. Garrett Cole was on that 2017 Astros team.
Yes,
Yankees fans love him.
But
I would maintain that it was more on the batting side of things.
To be fair,
the
pitchers didn't have much to do with it. I mean, they were benefiting from it, but they weren't out there banging trash cans when they could throw a guy a curveball.
Yeah, like, but Tony's right, though, man. There's been hated rivals, Dodgers, Giants, players like that. That, you know, eventually switch sides at the end and go to the other team. I mean, you just start rooting for those guys.
True, Scraven, Haley went from the 49ers
to the Cowboys.
Oh,
Deion went from the 49ers to the Cowboys.
Like it was nothing.
No trouble rooting for Deion the year he was a 49er.
No trouble. But that was before he went to the Cowboys. So it was a major heartbreak when he decided he was going to the Cowboys that year. Let me tell you, I did not understand why Deion Sanders was becoming a Cowboy. I did not. And it made me really angry. There was one other thing. Oh, Jerry Rice played for the Seahawks, the Broncos, the Raiders. I don't even know how many teams
he just went through
for.
The whole AFC West right there. Was not even at the time AFC West.
If he had cornrows, his career wasn't good. Like, yeah, I would love to see the stats with cornrows.
I beg to differ.
Really?
He had the cornrows from the middle of his head back. And he was still balling with the Raiders for a little bit.
He had it from the middle of his head back. All right, that's it for the Big Five.
Didn't he catch a touchdown in the Super Bowl that was here?
I'm not sure.
With the Raiders?
He probably did.
I'm not so sure he did. I mean, he wasn't the same receiver, obviously, with the Raiders.
No,
but
he still knew how to get open, though.
Still could do some things.
I'm looking at the Super Bowl.
Probably better than that kid who ran the 4-2-1 40 the other day.
Chris is upset.
I'm all over that,
over
Tony.
This.
You know me. Combine stuff.
The kid from Texas?
Yeah, he's going to be the greatest receiver of all time.
Somebody beat him? Yeah, I thought somebody ran a 4-1.
No, I think the Texas kid broke the record. That was the big deal of the weekend.
Man. Yeah, no, I saw him. He was scooting.
He was moving. Didn't see him running a pattern or catching a football.
You know what I was most happy about? Is I think the last guy who had the record was Ross went to Washington. When he ran his like calf like cramped up and like he had to be like helped off. All I was thinking about was, man, I hope this dude's hamstring doesn't like pop as he's hitting the full speed. He got out healthy. He was pumped too.
To see J.J. McCarthy overthrowing wide open receivers.
He's gonna be talking big noise when they go to Thanksgiving dinner. He's gonna wear Christian out. Wear him out. I know I would.
Wait, what?
Oh, you're talking about the McCaffrey brother.
I'm talking about McCaffrey's brother beating his 40 time by a tenth of a second.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even hear that. We were talking J.J. McCarthy, the Michigan quarterback. He had a really bad.
He had a rough workout.
Yeah, he did.
Did he? I saw him slinging a ball down the.
He slung a few, but he slung a few over people's heads. Didn't go so perfect for him.
See, it's all cool to be like, yeah, I'm gonna be a thrower. You go out and have a bad day. Don't be mad if it hurts your draft stock.
And I don't think anything can hurt his draft stock.
No. Somehow Michael Penix Jr. can't even get drafted.
Michael Penix barely can get drafted.
Bo Nix threw like 400
touchdowns.
Michael
Penix might be lucky to be picked up as a free agent by somebody.
And Bo Nix is like 28, ain't he?
He's up there. I don't know if he's winky old, but he's like 25. Why is he older?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
He transferred COVID year. He sat out.
Oh, yeah. I think he did.
Guys can end up playing like 8 years.
I think he was there like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. He'll be on February. No, he's 24 now. He just turned 24.
That's pretty old. Jerry Rice did have a touchdown in the Super Bowl that was here, by the way.
He did?
Yes. We were correct.
Wow.
Or I was correct.
I would have never.
So there you have it. Jerry could still get it done when he was a Raider. All right. Let's take a break when we come back. I got to ask Tony about Charles Barkley and the negative comments that Charles had about Tony's beloved Lakers. I want to hear what Tony has to say.
I can't wait to hear what Chuck has to say.
Oh, yeah. He was on your club's case.
I know he was.
We will find out about it when we get to more Gwen and Chris after a check of traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Because I'm so sick of these fools on other networks talking about the Lakers and the Warriors. We don't brag about any other play-in teams, do we? I understand Steph is great, LeBron is great. Ain't nobody worried about the Lakers and the Warriors in the West.
I would say this, Chuck.
Okay, go ahead and say it, Killer.
If Tom Brady was in a play-in situation, you'd be like,
That's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So that's what LeBron and Steph are.
Yeah, 3 years ago. Man, nobody's worried about the Lakers and the Warriors. They're playing good right now. But let me tell you something. These teams in the West are not worried about the Lakers and the Warriors. We be kissing these guys' ass so much. We don't brag about the number nine teams in the East. They ain't got no chance. The Lakers and the Warriors, they're on a little spell. They're doing well. LeBron was amazing last night. But they're not going to beat those teams up top,
but
period.
Two of the best players that
ever, ever. I understand. They are. But they're not no threat to those teams in the West.
All right, Charles Barkley. I love Charles. First of all, I didn't like him making fun of my Bulls, who are the number nine team in the East. And he's right. Nobody is talking about them. But here, I don't normally beg to differ with Barkley very often. However, last season, the Lakers were in the play-in tournament. They got all the way to the Western Conference Final. Beyond that, in the East, the Miami Heat were in the playoff play-in tournament, and they ended up in the NBA Finals. So it's not impossible for teams in the play-in tournament to do well. It happened as recently as last year, Tony. So
yeah.
I don't like to disagree with Barkley on this one, but I kind of do. I think the Lakers and Warriors are scary, especially if they play young teams like Minnesota and Oklahoma City.
In a vacuum, Charles is right. Like, they are playing teams you're not really talking about them. But for the reasons you just mentioned, for the reasons Kenny mentioned, and probably the most important one is NBA, as much as it is a basketball league, it is entertainment. And, you know, one of the things you're going to do to keep eyes on you is to talk about especially in the game of basketball, where it's much more about the individuals who play the game versus the teams. Yes, you got your Lakers, you got your Celtics. You had your Bull. I mean, but there's very few franchises that are big enough for the league to actually market.
In fact, you're right. You're not going to watch the Celtics unless Jason Tatum is playing.
Exactly. This is the NBA is designed that way to be now. NFL, yes, you can make that argument. We're not talking about a play-in team because, you know, it's a team sport. But in this situation, when you have LeBron James, you have Steph Curry, who are still two of the most popular players in the entire league, you're going to highlight those guys, and you're going to be talking about them, especially if they're still in the play-in, especially when what happened last year happened, which is two play-in teams got to the conference finals of their league. One got to the NBA final.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, obviously, Oklahoma City and Minnesota are on top in the West right now. But those are two young, untested playoff teams.
Correct.
And we've seen experience win out over those kinds of teams many times. Now, if the Lakers and Golden State play Denver, you know, they play, that might be a different thing, or somebody Phoenix or whatever, but I'm not, I know they lost to Denver the other day.
I want to be very clear about this, Chris. I don't think we can beat Denver. I don't care what happens. They're that team that just,
they've got the Lakers number right now, but
we can't beat.
I never totally give up on LeBron. Though I, you know, 40,000 points, that one's good, but he's now up to, you know, 19 straight years without having a single-digit scoring game. It's ridiculous.
This dude has a career triple-double. it is like 40,000 points. I think he's got 10,000 assists, 10,000. Like, this, it's just ridiculous.
It's starting to get out of control. It really is with how good LeBron James is. The Celtics beat the Warriors. Did you hear the line by Steve Kerr? He had a funny line after losing by 42 points. 42 points.
Yeah,
52.
No,
52.
Thank you.
Yeah,
52 points. And it was the third time this year that the Celtics have won a game by 50 or more, which is kind of ludicrous for an NBA situation. But you beat the Warriors by 50. Steve Kerr said after the game, "I feel bad. I could have made a couple of minor adjustments. I might have been able to change the outcome of this game." He was joking, of course. They were totally blown out in every stretch of the way. They were down 80
to 30,
83 to 38 at halftime.
Yeah, I saw that. I came across phone at halftime, and I turned to Dave. I was like, did you see the score of the Celtics? Warriors game?
Yeah.
Lakers played the... I don't really like that. I like UCLA.
All right, Dave.
That's what Dave said.
Thank
to you,
Scraby. You know, your impressions of people are getting worse and worse worse.
They're pretty bad, dog.
That was a good one from Dave. Have you ever heard Dave?
See, this is where I differ. I don't know that I've ever heard Dave on the first attempt ever in my life.
He talks too softly.
I have to say, what'd you say?
Okay, all right.
Every time. Now I have never heard him. The first time I have never heard him without having to say, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I'm glad you said that because, you know, when we have him on in the Dave segment as an old man who's losing his hearing.
Oh, Chris broke the audio, by the way, in the room.
I struggle to hear Dave during those segments. I definitely do.
Jesse's like my Dave whisperer sometimes, only he can't. He doesn't hear it either.
He doesn't pick it up all the time either. Nah. All right.
Poor Dave.
By the way, did you guys see that Netflix is doing a Montreal Expo?
I like that. Just to see the uniforms again. Those are the best uniforms.
It's about what led to the Expos leaving Montreal in 2004.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that because those were kind of my. I like those Expo teams back in the day.
Did you watch the Netflix Slam?
The Netflix
Chris is giving me this
slam.
Look like, what is
nope.
that?
I don't know what that is. What's the Netflix slam?
Oh, wow. I hold something over you guys. It was a exhibition style tennis match that was broadcast live between Nadal and I think Alcaraz.
Yes, it was. Yesterday.
I don't know who won. I don't know anything about it, but I figured Chris would be glued to his TV.
I wasn't. I told you I watched tennis in the Grand Slam tournaments. Mm. And, you know, they just had the women's tour come through San Diego here.
They did, yeah.
Last week. Unfortunately, and this is not anybody's. I know tennis fans, you know, went out and enjoyed it.
Chris is opening his paper.
I'm folding the paper so I can see the name of the winner of the tournament. It was a young lady from Britain, Katie Bolter. Mm. Who's ranked 49th in the world. And they didn't get the same big names that they've gotten in this San Diego tournament the last couple of years. They got Pegula, who's the fifth ranked player in the world, but she lost in the semifinals.
Why do you think they're not getting the bigger names?
Well, it's not a why. It's one of those things where they have other tournaments in the Middle East.
Mm.
Where they're at the same time, Abu Dhabi, etc. Yeah.
And they pay well.
They pay a lot. And so they've got to, you know, San Diego's got to deal with that. But, it was, I would have liked to have gone. I just didn't have the time last week. I was traveling twice. But I like tennis. You know that.
That's why I asked you about the Netflix.
But I know really an exhibition match doesn't really do it for me.
They had a cool court and everything.
Oh, was it glass? The NBA All-Star
game? No, I don't think it was glass.
Well, they got to get with it. Got to get with it.
All right.
All right. Bottom of the hour break. Coming up, more Gwen and Chris. I don't know exactly where we're going. Come back. We'll figure it all out together. We are happy you're with us. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Peoria with the Padres. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Padres over the Cubs today. 2-1. Padres improved to 7-6 in spring training action. Have you guys had a day off yet, Tony Gwynn Jr.?
The team hasn't. Jesse and I have.
Oh, you guys have had a couple of days. Okay.
Technically. I still did a show with you guys, like tomorrow.
They're not broadcasting tomorrow.
No, I think the Diamondbacks are carrying the broadcast.
I think
Mudd's going to be on there, too.
Mudcat's going to be on the Diamondbacks broadcast?
Yeah, he's going to, you know,
get filling in for Bob Brenly?
I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but
I know
he's guesting on there tomorrow.
All right, good. I hope the umpires hold up play. They can get the game underway. Caitlin Clark was one of the big stories of the weekend, Tony, and Mark Ziegler is going to be on in a minute talking about what she accomplished and what it all means. And, you know, as a father of three young ladies who play soccer and are aspiring to be athletes, I imagine, you know, you're pretty excited about what Caitlin Clark has accomplished. Yeah, Mark Ziegler's point is we don't need to compare her to Pete Maravich. Just let her live on her own greatness. What say you about Caitlin Clark and, you know, her record-setting exploits?
I mean, I think Zig's right. We don't have to. I mean, but if somebody says who scored the most collegiate points in basketball,
right?
The answer is Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Now, if we want to divide that, you want to say who leads in men? Pete. She'll be the women's leader, but she scored the most points. There's no other way to look at it. I don't necessarily think we need to compare. She is in a she's literally in a class by herself. Nobody else in college sports, college basketball, has ever scored that many points. Now, granted, we can go into the debate of, you know, Pete didn't have a three-point line, this and that and the other. All true. But, yeah, man, she's, I mean, she is the greatest shooter. It's definitely the best woman to shoot the ball I've seen in ever.
She's pretty good.
Quite some time ever.
She's pretty good. You got to guard her, like, as soon as she crosses half court.
Yeah.
And that's just not realistic.
And that's only one element of her game, too, by the way. Yeah. She
averages seven assists. You know, the thing that I, you know, don't look at, because I don't have daughters, but is just her effect on young ladies, though, and their ability, their desire to play sports. I think it really, this does a whole lot for them, because they see something like this, and they say, you know what, if I work and get things go my way, I could be famous like her one day.
Listen, it's partly on her that, I mean, we're sports nuts, so we could probably name you three men's college basketball players just as we could name three college women. It's pretty much, I mean, it's because of her that, you know, arenas are selling. I think Iowa's, they've already surpassed their
Their
attendance.
Tickets were going for $450 yesterday.
That's crazy. And you know what this will lead to? This will lead to people then watching more WNBA when she leaves the college scene and heads there.
Yep.
I mean, she's having an impact that goes far beyond the points she scored on the points. And I think ultimately that's what we're going to be talking about.
The team that is supposed to draft her first in the WNBA draft is Indiana.
Yeah.
Their season ticket costs have already doubled.
Oh, my goodness.
They got the first pick last year. They took Aaliyah Boston.
Yeah.
She hasn't even been
drafted yet, and people are already buying tickets and paying more money for the, you know, thinking that Caitlin, why are you shaking your head?
I just get so annoyed. She hasn't even finished college yet, but the Indiana Fever are already raising their ticket prices. Like, come
They got season ticket holders, man.
People are
going to
buy them, man. People want them.
They know
supply
they got the first
demand,
pick.
Mr. Scraby.
I believe
Did you pay attention to nothing in school?
I believe that. Well, no one's demanding it yet because there's no supply.
You're wrong. They are demanding it. I guarantee you people are buying those season tickets.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
People are lining up to buy Indiana Fever tickets because they know she's going to play.
You got to remember, Chris Scraby, this is their off season, so like they have to start planning for season tickets costs. They probably are late to the show at this point.
The other thing is the WNBA, right? They have the draft in about a month.
Yep.
Right in April,
mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm,
they start playing
mm-hmm
in June.
Okay.
So she'll be right back out on the floor. It's not like you're going to have a 7 or 8 month layoff before she goes back to playing.
Yeah, they start playing in the NBA's offseason.
It carries right on through. So the Caitlin Clark noise is not going to die down.
I'm not mad at Caitlin Clark. I'm mad at the Indiana Fever for trying to jackpot. Never mind. Let's go to Mark
you're
Ziegler.
You're always being mad at somebody.
Check
man.
Traffic
yeah,
first. Well, Mark Ziegler will try to put some reason on this. Mark Ziegler joins us here with the Aztecs on the verge of a big week of hoops. Mark, thanks so much for the time as always. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
This is an exciting time of year.
Yeah, I love it. It's March, and it starts getting me thinking about everything that the Aztecs took us through last year, and, you know, hoping that we'll get lucky and another run will engulf us in it. But before we get to that, you tweeted out about Caitlin Clark. I just think we can have Caitlin Clark be great and Pete Maravich be great too, and I don't know why everybody seems to want to compare the two and come up with a greatest when it's not that important, is it?
Yeah, you know, I think this started earlier this year when there was all this talk about Tara Vanderveer, the Stanford women's coach, passing Coach K, the all-time winningest college basketball coach. And I think it just got carried forward, and people just sort of think this is apples to apples. And my whole point in this is, I'm a huge Caitlin Clark fan. I mean, I watch a lot of her games. I appreciate the way she plays. Really, really exciting, and in many respects, more exciting than a lot of men's games I've seen this season. And so I think we should celebrate that, but I think it's just a bridge too far when you start to compare her to men. And for several reasons, one of them is that, you know, Pete Maravich didn't play with a three-point line. He didn't have a shot clock, and he scored all his points in 83 games. She did it in 130, which just tells you how incredible his career was. Now, he took a zillion shots a game, but it's just, you know, the women's ball is smaller. It's lighter. It's easier just from a physics standpoint of going through the basket. I just don't think you can compare them. And my second point to all that is, I think if you start to compare them, you go down a really, really, really slippery slope if you're to compare women to men, because it's not even close. And I just don't think we want to go there, and people are going there, and it just won't end well.
Talking to Mark Ziegler here, San Diego Union Tribune on 97.3 The Fan. So Chris and I had this question earlier. When I'm writing Chris versus the Fans questions, and I write, who is the number one college basketball Division I scorer of all time? What is the correct answer in your mind?
It's Pete Maravich in the men, and it's Caitlin Clark in the women. And
that's such a Chris answer.
Mark Ziegler's a smart guy.
I mean, when you say who is the fastest, who is the 100-meter gold medalist in the Olympics, do you just say it's Usain Bolt?
I guess, but that's my problem.
You know, I mean, here's an example of the road we're going down. And I looked this up today, and this should give people a little bit of idea of why we don't want to go down this road. I'll give you two examples from track and field in the NCAAs. Last year, the winner of the 800 meters at the NCAA track, outdoor track championship, won it in 159.7 seconds, so just under 2 minutes.
Right.
Okay, if she had been in the California Boys State High School meet, she would have finished last in the final by 3 seconds. Okay, here's another example. The NCAA women's record for 1500 meters is just under 4 minutes. It's three, during the season, it's like 3:59.7. Okay. Last year alone, across Division I, II, and III in men, 618 men ran 10 seconds faster than that. Okay. And so we don't want to go down that road because it degrades women's sports. It's not fair to women's sports. And that's why I'm shocked that women's sports advocates feel the need to validate an accomplishment and of what Caitlin Clark did by comparing it to men, because it's not going to end well, and it's not fair to her. It's not fair to Pete Maravich. It's not fair to men. It's not fair to women. They're separate entities, and let's just celebrate them that way.
Let them both be great.
That's my point, and I'm going to get canceled for it, but I mean, that's just the way it is.
You might, actually.
You actually have some support on the chat.
Thanks, Chris.
We'll support you, but I can't help. I can't speak for everybody out there.
Our YouTube chat, you have support. There's always going to be each side.
That's right. Mark Ziegler's with us. All right, Mark, Aztecs come in. Let's see, 11-5. UNLV's 11-5, right? And they're not even supposed to be a tournament team unless they go on and win the postseason tournament. I said that the Aztecs, these two games mean a lot tomorrow in Boise because they want to hang on to that 4 seed. Do you get the feeling that's what they're playing for? Almost more than, you know, trying to win the regular season championship, which I know they'd like, but they're going to need help.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. If you think about it, you pull back, what's the most important thing in college basketball, rightly or wrongly, fortunately or unfortunately? It's the NCAA tournament. And to have the best shot at the NCAA tournament, you want to have a good seed. You want to be in a good region, maybe get some fans to your game. A difference, you know, particularly between a 4 and like a 6 in the type of team you're going to play in the first round is enormous. Last year they were 5. They got shipped and they went down to Orlando. And the team they played, Charleston, was good. It was gritty. And the Aztecs, remember, did not play well in that game. But they were so athletically superior to that type of team. They had a lot of players on that team. They just weren't as athletic. They were gritty and they played hard, but they just weren't of the athletic ability and size that San Diego State had. And they just kind of bullied their way to that win. And that's the advantage of having a good seed. If you get down into the sixes and the sevens, now you're playing a power conference team, probably a power conference team that surged late in the season to get into the tournament. And now you're in trouble because they're big, they're strong, they've got momentum going, they're playing well. And, you know, San Diego State's been a six twice, and it both were double-digit losses, North Carolina State. We all remember the Syracuse blowout. So I think that's the most important thing at this point. And to hold on to a four, I think they need to win Tuesday. And then if they win at home in senior night against Boise State, I think that's locked up no matter what happens in the conference tournament. If they lose, it gets real dicey because that's going to be a quad two loss at UNLV. And that's the one thing that's going for their resume. They have no quad two, quad three, quad four losses. Their only losses are quad one on the road. It's a clean resume. And now you muddy it up a little bit and it opens the door for the selection committee to drop them to a five.
Talking to Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune here on 97.3 The Fan. And I was looking through Lamont Butler's numbers over the weekend. And like without even going into it, I thought his numbers are way down from last year. But looking at it, he basically has identical numbers last year. Maybe he's down in three-point percentage and he's even down in turnovers. But what's been the big difference? Because is it because he made that shot, everybody's paying attention to him more, or is he struggling a little bit more this year?
Well, I think, you know, making that shot is a blessing and a curse. I mean, the blessing is, obviously, you're a hero for life. You shouldn't have to buy a meal in San Diego ever again. and that's what it's all about. You know, you want to be a legend, and he's a legend for making that shot. The curse is that I think people got a little bit, you know, kind of outkicked his coverage in terms of potential as a player. He's a very, very good college player. Let's not forget that. He's an incredible defender. And he's very athletic, and he's the kind of guy you want to have on your team. He's a winner. He plays for others. He defers to others. And he's a great guy to be around. But I think what happens is people confuse that with he's a first-round NBA draft pick, and he's not. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, and doesn't mean he can't one day develop into an NBA player. But I just think people kind of had this idea, you know, he's going to come back this year and average 20 a game, and I mean, maybe I even fell into that a little bit, but he is what he's always been, which is a guy who averages about 8 points a game, and he's the best defender on the floor, and he leads by example and plays hard and dives to the floor for loose balls and you know, gets his teammates involved and just finds ways to win, and that's who he is, and I think maybe we shouldn't forget that, and that's what he's been this year, just as he was last year.
I shouldn't take it personally, Mark, but I will take it personally if they overlook Jaden Ledee for first team All-American. I feel like he represents all of us here. I feel like he is one of the best five players in the country. I understand that you've got to deal with Edie and Purdue and how many bigs are they going to take and all of the high profile schools out there. But a lot of people, Gary Parrish, at least last week, said he thinks he's one of the best five. Do you think he has a legit shot for first team, or will he get kind of overlooked by bigger name competition?
I think it's going to be right on the cusp. I talked to a national writer. I won't say his name. I'll let him have some anonymity, who said it's going to be tough. He's going to be right on that 5-6 line. I think he'll fall to six. You know, he'll be in that second group, second team All-American. That's my guess is what he'll end up. Should he be in the first five? Of course he should. He's had an incredible season. And he's done it. You know, the one thing about guards is guards don't get double teamed that often, right? And they just get to go and play their game. And big men get double teamed, and it's hard on them. And he's a 6'9". He's not a 7'4" big man. He's 6'9", and he gets double teamed. And he never, ever faced that before in his career at any level. On the low block, getting double teamed, and he had to learn how to deal with it. And if you look how he's played in the last few games and how he's adjusted to that, how he's watched film, how he's getting balls, you know, he's trying to get open in different spots where it's harder to double team. And when he does get double teamed, how he dribbles out and passes, he's made huge strides. And I just think that speaks to the type of player, the type of season he's having. But I think he'll be Mountain West Player of the Year, and I think he'll be a second team All-American, and that's pretty darn good.
That is pretty darn good. We're talking to Mark Ziegler here of San Diego Union Tribune. If you were to get Coach Dutcher to answer this question, what do you think he would say? What is his grade so far for this season?
For this team?
Yes.
Well, I think he, all in all, I think he'd probably give him an A. I mean, I think, look, this team's going to, there's a really good chance this team's going to have a better NCAA tournament seed than last year's team. And at worst case scenario, they'll have the same seed. They're going to have a similar record. They're playing in a much tougher league. They had a way, way tougher schedule this year. And so I think the one thing that maybe he would maybe give him an A-minus on is that they haven't been able to win on the road like he had hoped. And that's been one of the hallmarks of this program is they can go on the road and win. And it's not like they're getting blown out. They're in those games. They you know, every single game they've led in the second half or been with in a point. And except for the one game, I think, in New Mexico, maybe they were within a point in that game, too. But, I mean, they've been close in all these games. They have been able to close. So I think that's the one thing he'd probably say, if I were to put words in his mouth, that was a little bit of a disappointment. But the rest of it has been really pretty good. And if they get a four seed, not only is it better than last year, but it's been really hard. I mean, it's hard when you go to a national championship game from a conference like the Mountain West, from a program like San Diego State that's never even dreamed of anything like that before. The level of expectations put on you, every loss is the end of the world. Every team, and I see it in every building, the energy in the building, the energy of the other team. You're getting, you know, it's not cliche to say you're getting every team's best shot. You really are getting every team's best shot. And if you watch some of these other Mountain West games and you see you see the way New Mexico played at home against Air Force versus the way they played at home against San Diego State. It's night and day. And so when you add all that in and all that expectation and extra hype every time they go somewhere and they're a four seed, I think that's pretty darn good. Now, will they do as well in the NCAA tournament? It's all up to matchups. And, you know, odds are probably not with them. But in terms of just the regular season body of work, it's been pretty good all in all.
Yes, it has. Aztecs play at UNLV tomorrow night. Thanks to Mark Ziegler for joining us and causing a whole bunch of controversy on the chat. Caitlin Clark versus Pete Maravich. Guys, have at it. Scraby will carry on the conversation with the Chronicles that are next. He'll talk
the
more
Chronicles!
About yeah, baby, Sonny Gray. Bad news for the Cardinals. MRI on his hamstring. He had some tightness today. They'll get results tomorrow on that. Cardinals need Sonny Gray if they want to bounce back this year. Tony Good Jr., well done. From
Thank
Peoria,
you,
we'll see everybody tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Quinn and Chris, Scraby's got a rant, daily gripe coming up.
Fix your camera, Scraby.
Oh, you bet. Thank you, Tony.
Get organized,
you better believe
Scraby.
It, Chris.
Get organized over there.
All right.
You're next. Stick around, everyone. Okay. Mark Ziegler joins us here with the Aztecs on the verge of a big week of hoops. Mark, thanks so much for the time, as always. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
This is an exciting time of year.
Yeah, I love it. It's March, and it starts getting me thinking about everything that the Aztecs took us through last year and, you know, hoping that we'll get lucky and another run will engulf us in it. But before we get to that, you tweeted out about Caitlin Clark. I just think we can have Caitlin Clark be great and Pete Maravich be great, too. And I don't know why everybody seems to want to compare the two and come up with a greatest when it's not that important, is it?
Yeah, you know, I think this started earlier this year when there was all this talk about Tara Vanderveer, the Stanford women's coach, passing Coach K, the all-time winningest college basketball coach. And I think it just got carried forward, and people just sort of think this is apples to apples. And my whole point in this is, I'm a huge Caitlin Clark fan. I mean, I watch a lot of her games. I appreciate the way she plays. Really, really exciting, and in many respects, more exciting than a lot of men's games I've seen this season. And so I think we should celebrate that, but I think it's just a bridge too far when you start to compare her to men. And for several reasons, one of them is that, you know, Pete Maravich didn't play with a three-point line. He didn't have a shot clock, and he scored all his points in 83 games. She did it in 130, which just tells you how incredible his career was. Now, he took a zillion shots a game, but it's just, you know, the women's ball is smaller. It's lighter. It's easier just from a physics standpoint of going through the basket. I just don't think you can compare them. And my second point to all that is I think if you start to compare them, you go down a really, really, really slippery slope if you're to compare women to men, because it's not even close. And I just don't think we want to go there, and people are going there, and it just won't end well.
Talking to Mark Ziegler here, San Diego Union Tribune on 97.3 The Fan. So Chris and I had this question earlier. When I'm writing Chris versus the Fans questions and I write, who is the number one college basketball Division I scorer of all time? What is the correct answer in your mind?
It's Pete Maravich in the men, and it's Caitlin Clark in the women. And
that's such a Chris answer. That's right. Mark Ziegler's a smart guy.
I mean, when you say who is the fastest, you know, who is the 100-meter gold medalist in the Olympics, do you just say it's Usain Bolt?
I guess I default, but that's my problem.
You know, I mean, here's an example of the road we're going down. And I looked this up today, and this should give people a little bit of idea of why we don't want to go down this road. I'll give you two examples from track and field in the NCAAs. Last year, the winner of the 800 meters at the NCAA track, outdoor track championship, won it in 159.7 seconds, so just under 2 minutes.
Right.
Okay, if she had been in the California Boys State High School meet, she would have finished last in the final by 3 seconds. Okay, here's another example. The NCAA women's record for 1,500 meters is just under 4 minutes. It's during the season, it's like 3:59.7. Okay, last year alone, across Division I, II, and III in men, 618 men ran 10 seconds faster than that. Okay? And so we don't want to go down that road because it degrades women's sports. It's not fair to women's sports. And that's why I'm shocked that women's sports advocates feel the need to validate an accomplishment and of what Caitlin Clark did by comparing it to men. Because it's not going to end well, and it's not fair to her. It's not fair to Pete Maravich. It's not fair to men. It's not fair to women. They're separate entities, and let's just celebrate them that way.
Let them both be great.
That's my point, and I'm going to get canceled for it, but I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, you might, actually.
You actually have some support on the chat.
Thanks, Chris.
We'll support you, but I can't help. I can't speak for everybody out there.
Our YouTube chat, you have support. You have. There's always going to be each side.
That's right. Mark Ziegler's with us. All right, Mark, Aztecs come in. Let's see, 11-5. UNLV's 11-5, right? And they're not even supposed to be a tournament team unless they go on and win the postseason tournament. I said that the Aztecs, these two games mean a lot tomorrow in Boise because they want to hang on to that 4 seed. Do you get the feeling that's what they're playing for? Almost more than, you know, trying to win the regular season championship, which I know they'd like, but they're going to need help.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. If you think about it, you pull back, what's the most important thing in college basketball, rightly or wrongly, fortunately or unfortunately? It's the NCAA tournament. And to have the best shot at the NCAA tournament, you want to have a good seed. You want to be in a good region, maybe get some fans to your game. A difference, you know, particularly between a 4 and like a 6 in the type of team you're going to play in the first round is enormous. Last year they were 5. They got shipped and they went down to Orlando. And the team they played, Charleston, was good. It was gritty. And the Aztecs, remember, did not play well in that game. But they were so athletically superior to that type of team. They had a lot of players on that team. They just weren't as athletic. They were gritty and they played hard, but they just weren't of the athletic ability and size that San Diego State had. And they just kind of bullied their way to that win. And that's the advantage of having a good seed. If you get down into the 6s and the 7s, now you're playing a power conference team, probably a power conference team that surged late in the season to get into the tournament. And now you're in trouble because they're big, they're strong, they've got momentum going, they're playing well. And, you know, San Diego State's been a 6 twice, and both were double digit losses, North Carolina State. We all remember the Syracuse blowout. So I think that's the most important thing at this point. And to hold on to a 4, I think they need to win Tuesday. And then if they win at home in senior night against Boise State, I think that's locked up no matter what happens in the conference tournament. If they lose, it gets real dicey because that's going to be a quad 2 loss at UNLV. And that's the one thing that's going for their resume. They have no quad 2, quad 3, quad 4 losses. Their only losses are quad 1 on the road. It's a clean resume, and now you muddy it up a little bit, and it opens the door for the selection committee to drop them to a 5.
Talking to Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune here on 97.3 The Fan. And I was looking through Lamont Butler's numbers over the weekend. And like without even going into it, I thought his numbers are way down from last year. But looking at it, he basically has the has identical numbers last year. Maybe he's down in 3-point percentage, and he's even down in turnovers. But what's been the big difference? Because is it because he made that shot, everybody's paying attention to him more, or is he struggling a little bit more this year?
Well, I think, you know, making that shot is a blessing and a curse. I mean, the blessing is, obviously, you're a hero for life. You shouldn't have to buy a meal in San Diego ever again. and that's what it's all about. You know, you want to be a legend, and he's a legend for making that shot. The curse is that I think people got a little bit, you know, kind of outkicked his coverage in terms of potential as a player. He's a very, very good college player. Let's not forget that. He's an incredible defender. And he's very athletic, and he's the kind of guy you want to have on your team. He's a winner. He plays for others. He defers to others. And he's a great guy to be around. But I think what happens is people confuse that with he's a first-round NBA draft pick, and he's not. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, and doesn't mean he can't one day develop into an NBA player. But I just think people kind of had this idea, you know, he's going to come back this year and average 20 a game. And I mean, maybe I even fell into that a little bit, but he is what he's always been, which is a guy who averages about 8 points a game. And he's the best defender on the floor. And he leads by example and plays hard and dives to the floor for loose balls and, you know, gets his teammates involved and just finds ways to win. And that's who he is. And I think maybe we shouldn't forget that. And that's what he's been this year, just as he was last year.
I shouldn't take it personally, Mark, but I will take it personally if they overlook Jaden Ledee for first-team All-American. I feel like he represents all of us here. I feel like he is one of the best five players in the country. I understand that you've got to deal with Edie and Purdue and how many bigs are they going to take and all of the high-profile schools out there. But a lot of people, Gary Parrish, at least last week, said he thinks he's one of the best five. Do you think he has a legit shot for first team, or will he get kind of overlooked by bigger name competition?
I think it's going to be right on the cusp. I talked to a national writer, I won't say his name, I'll let him have some anonymity, who said it's going to be tough. He's going to be right on that 5-6 line. I think he'll fall to 6. You know, he'll be in that second group, second team All-American. That's my guess is what he'll end up. Should he be in the first five? Of course he should. He's had an incredible season. And he's done it. You know, the one thing about guards is guards don't get double teamed that often, right? And they just get to go and play their game. And big men get double teamed, and it's hard on them. And he's a 6'9". He's not a 7'4" big man. He's 6'9", and he gets double teamed. And he never, ever faced that before in his career at any level. On the low block, getting double teamed, and he had to learn how to deal with it. And if you look how he's played in the last few games and how he's adjusted to that, how he's watched film, how he's getting balls, you know, he's trying to get open in different spots where it's harder to double team. And when he does get double teamed, how he dribbles out and passes, he's made huge strides. And I just think that speaks to the type of player, the type of season he's having. But I think he'll be Mountain West Player of the Year, and I think he'll be a second team All-American, and that's pretty darn good.
That is pretty darn good. We're talking to Mark Ziegler here of San Diego Union Tribune. If you were to get Coach Dutcher to answer this question, what do you think he would say? What is his grade so far for this season?
For this team?
Yes.
Well, I think he, all in all, I think he'd probably give him an A. I mean, I think look, this team's going to, there's a really good chance this team's going to have a better NCAA tournament seed than last year's team. And at worst case scenario, they'll have the same seed. They're going to have a similar record. They're playing in a much tougher league. They had a way, way tougher schedule this year. And so I think the one thing that maybe give them an A- on is that they haven't been able to win on the road like he'd hoped. And that's been one of the hallmarks of this program, is they can go on the road and win. And it's not like they're getting blown out. They're in those games. They you know, every single game they've led in the second half or been with in a point, and except for the one game, I think in New Mexico, maybe they were within a point in that game too. But I mean, they've been close in all these games. They have been able to close. So I think that's the one thing he'd probably say, if I were to put words in his mouth, that was a little bit of a disappointment. But the rest of it has been really pretty good. And if they get a 4 seed, not only is it better than last year, but it's been really hard. I mean, it's hard when you go to a national championship game from a conference like the Mountain West, from a program like San Diego State that's never even dreamed of anything like that before. The amount, the level of expectations put on you, every loss is the end of the world, every team, and I see it in every building, the energy in the building, the energy of the other team. You're getting, you know, it's not cliche to say you're getting every team's best shot. You really are getting every team's best shot. And if you watch some of these other Mountain West games and you see the, you know, you see the way New Mexico played at home against Air Force versus the way they played at home against San Diego State, it's night and day. And so you, when you add all that in and all that expectation and extra hype every time they go somewhere and they're a four seed, I think that's pretty darn good. Now, will they do as well in the NCAA tournament? It's all up to matchups. And, you know, odds are probably not with them. But in terms of just the regular season body of work, it's been pretty good all in all.
Yes, it has. Aztecs play at UNLV tomorrow night. Thanks to Mark Ziegler for joining us and causing a whole bunch of controversy on the chat. Caitlin Clark versus Pete Maravich. Guys, have at it. Scraby will carry on the conversation with the Chronicles that are next. He'll talk
more
about
the Chronicles.
Yeah, baby. Sonny Gray. Bad news for the Cardinals. MRI on his hamstring. He had some tightness today. They'll get results tomorrow on that. Cardinals need Sonny Gray if they want to bounce back this year. Tony Good Jr., well done. From
Thank
Peoria.
You,
we'll see everybody tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Gwen and Chris. Scraby's got a rant. Daily gripe coming up.
Fix your camera, Scraby.
Oh, you bet. Thank you, Tony.
Get organized.
You better believe
Scraby.
It, Chris.
Get organized over there.
All right.
You're next. Stick around, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.